We rise. Grace and peace to you from our crucified and risen Lord, in whom we have complete redemption. Amen. We turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3, where we find that Peter and John have just healed a man who was paralyzed from birth. We pick up at chapter 3, verse 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." This word of the Lord was spoken for you. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, some people wear their emotions on their sleeves. They let you know what's going on inside of them, what they're thinking, to the point where sometimes you wish they wouldn't. Other people don't. Other people don't let you know what's going on inside, what they're feeling. And no matter what you do, it can be awfully hard to get these people to open up. It's as if they live inside a plaster mold of themselves, painted with shades of gray and black, and they don't want you to see their true colors. For this particular man, it didn't seem to matter what you did. Nothing could get through to him. He was a tough guy, the type of guy whose skin was so thick you couldn't scratch it with a chainsaw. He lived inside a plaster mold of his real self, painted with shades of gray and black. And it wasn't until he got locked up that he finally opened up. It wasn't until he faced the day of his sentencing and had a visit from the pastor that he finally cracked. It was as if you could see the relief pouring out of him in a multicolored mix of tears and cries and the restorative work of God. In today's sermon, we feel the relief. As in every day where we hear the preaching of repentance and forgiveness, we feel the relief of what God is doing when he gets us to open up. And so he does by firstly opening our minds to the scriptures, secondly opening our hearts to Christ, and thirdly opening our whole self to the final restoration of Christ's return. As God gets us to open up, we feel the relief. The crowds that gather are marveling at what has just happened. Peter and John have healed a man who was paralyzed since birth. And they marvel because this is so unexpected. Now, being paralyzed and being a beggar at the gate, that was something they could expect. They saw him there week after week, laying at the gate, asking for some money because he had no other way to make his income. And so they're surprised. But really, they're surprised only because they're stuck in a shell of false hopes. It's a mindset that somehow the goal that God has for us in our lives is to make things a little better. A better job, a better spouse, a better income, better health, better life. God's goal is to give us something a little better than what we currently have. So when those things come to us, we marvel. And when they don't, we are troubled. It's as if we think it's a reliance on our own godliness to make these things happen. As Peter says, do you think it's by our own power or godliness that this man was made whole? That suddenly something better has happened to him? And so they marvel. The man who was once laid at the gate begging for money is now leaping and shouting for joy in the temple. They marvel because they do not know the scriptures. They chase after Peter and John like they're some kind of freak show because they don't know the scriptures. And Peter is well aware of this experience. He remembers back to that time where he was in the upper room, where he was troubled. Jesus was supposed to give them something better, but instead he brought them sorrow. He brought them death. It was unexpected. And they're all gathered up in that room, troubled about what this means, until Jesus appears. Until he appears and he eats some bread, some honeycomb, and he proves to them. He asks them the question, why are you troubled? He shatters their shell in a multicolored mix of promises, prophecies, and preaching. He appears to them in flesh and blood, beginning with the Old Testament scriptures, showing them that this was always how it was to be. Throughout the whole Old Testament, it was always pointing to the fact that Jesus would have to suffer and die and rise. And the purpose and goal of all of this was not to give you something better in this world, but in the world to come. That the preaching of repentance and forgiveness would spread to all nations. The goal of the scriptures is not to offer you something better for your life, to make you a little better person, to give you something to make you a little happier. It's to bring you to repentance and share with you the forgiveness of your sins and peace with God. Feel the relief of having your mind opened to that truth. Because it means that whether life gets better or worse, it doesn't matter with God. You're at peace with him. Whether you find a better job or you don't need to marvel. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to marvel if things get better. You don't need to be troubled if things get worse, because you know your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ. And God is preparing this goal for you. Not just to open your mind, but to open your heart and to open your whole self to that final restoration of his return. So once God opens your mind to this truth, it leads to him also opening your heart, because it's not all just up in your head. It's in your heart. God opens your mind to the scriptures so that your heart would follow. So that when you understand that Jesus was crucified for your sins and God's purpose is to save you, you would now know Christ in your heart. Peter, of all people, should know the feeling. It was Peter who hid inside the plaster mold, painted in shades of gray and black, as his Lord went to trial and eventually to the cross. It was Peter who was in the courtyard when his mouth should have been filled with a testimony of who Jesus really was. No, it was filled with painted lies. Peter had thought himself too tough, too resilient to let anything get to him, let anything shake his resolve. His pride was a shell that he had built around him so that he thought nothing could touch him. And when the moment of truth came, when he would really be tested, when it really counted on whether or not he would confess the truth of who Jesus is, his mouth was filled with lies. He tried to protect himself so he couldn't have to feel that, what it meant for his Lord to be crucified and him to do nothing. The truth hurts. It hurts because it opens us up. It makes us vulnerable. It reveals who we truly are, who we have been, what God really sees. That we all have been unwilling to step up in the face of persecution, to confess his name when it really counted, to do what is right for someone else, even when it means getting yourself hurt or losing something that's important to you. This is why the pastor came to visit him on the day of his sentencing. He was the type of guy that was tough. He thought nothing could hurt him. He could hardly even scratch his skin with a chainsaw. He was stuck inside a plaster mold of painted shades of gray and black. And it wasn't until he was locked up that he finally opened up. It was there, separated by plexiglass from the outside world, that he finally cracked. On the day of his sentencing, he realized how much he was about to lose. His wife, his children, his home, his life. And finally it cracked. God got him to open up. As the pastor was giving his devotion, he burst into a confession of sins, asking for forgiveness. And you could see the relief pouring out of him in a multicolored mix of tears and cries and the restorative work of God. And the words of Peter touch that deepest part of our hearts. Repent, therefore, that times of refreshing may come, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of relief would come from the presence of the Lord. The truth hurts, but it also heals. It doesn't pay us any good to keep our guilt bottled up inside, to excuse it away, to let it build up to the point where anger and jealousy start coming out of us instead of fruits of forgiveness and repentance. It only builds more tension, thicker coats of gray and black, until there could come a time when God just can't crack it, when no one can get through to your true colors. There comes a time when God gives us over to that hardness, where he stops reaching out, where we realize we are alone. And he tells us, you crucified the Prince of Life. The truth hurts, but it also heals. And when that truth comes out, we find relief. Relief because it's not on us to carry our sins. It's not on us to fix this. Peter, who had denied his own Lord, is now preaching the very relief that he experienced, that your sins would be blotted out and a time of relief would come from the presence of the Lord. We know that wherever we are gathered around word and sacrament, we're in the presence of the Lord. There in the presence of the Lord, as the pastor pours water over your head, God gives us relief. There, in the presence of the Lord, as the pastor hands out bread and wine, God gives us relief. There, in the presence of the Lord, as the preaching of repentance comes to you, God gives us relief. And there, in the presence of the Lord, when you're alone behind closed doors with the pastor, when you tell the pastor about your sins, about your guilt, your burdens, there where you are absolved in the name of Christ, forgiven and set free, a time of relief has come. Feel that relief. A relief to your mind, to your heart, and actually to your whole self, because this all is leading toward a goal. Not just that you would know Christ in the scriptures, not just that you would know him in your heart, but that your whole self would know the relief. The final relief and restoration that is coming to all of us. The man who leaps and shouts for joy is doing so because he's been touched by the resurrection. And that is what faith does. It touches the resurrection. It touches what God has done in Christ, but not just in a little way, where for a while things might get better, maybe your health improves, maybe your financial situation is better, but no, in a way that restores your whole self, mind and body and soul. It's by faith in Jesus' name that this man was made whole, and nothing else. By faith, he was made whole. Restored by the power of Christ's resurrection, and that is the goal God has for all of you. To feel that relief as he strengthens us through his promises to know what is coming. A day when God will send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens now receive, whom you can't see but you know is with you, when he returns for a time of restoration. When he'll make everything that's broken and wrong and sinful and dead into something new. God has spoken this by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, since the very beginning of the world. All the Old Testament scriptures, all the prophets, all the prophecies, it was all about Jesus. It wasn't about you, it wasn't about anything else than Jesus. The promises made to Israel of a land flowing with milk and honey, of prosperity, of God being with them and living among them. It was all about Jesus. I'd like to close with a final reading from Isaiah and to have you keep in mind that this is all talking about Christ and the final restoration. From Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands. And make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. God has gotten you to open up. Like the lame man, God has gotten you to open up. Because of what we know in the scriptures, in Christ, in the promise of what is to come, we can open up, we can stand up, we can run and leap like a deer, shouting praises throughout this church. Feel that relief pouring out of you in a multicolored mix of the joy that is yours in Christ Jesus. Feel the relief as God gets you to open up. Amen. In heart.